invite you to take your copy of the scriptures and go with me this morning to Exodus chapter 20. We'll be looking at the fifth commandment that is found in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Before we do, someone has written the following. I've adapted it a little bit, but it's not original with me. Their perspective is this: it's amazing how one's view of their parents changes over time. Have you noticed that? It's amazing how one's view of their parents changes over time. So someone put it this way, or in similar ways: at age 4, my parents can do anything. At age 8, my parents know everything. At age 12, my parents don't know as much as I thought they did. At age 14, my parents don't understand anymore. At age 16, my parents are really out of touch. At age 21, maybe my parents do know a thing or two. At age 25, I think I might call my parents and see what they think. At age 35, I'd better see what my parents think about this huge decision I'm about to make. At age 50, I wonder what my parents would have thought about this. At age 65, I sure wish I could talk to one of my parents right now. It is amazing how our perspective on our parents changes. And while our view of our parents and our relationship with our parents changes over time, one biblical responsibility to them does not change. That is the biblical responsibility to honor our parents. The biblical responsibility to honor our parents. Exodus chapter 12, or chapter 20 and verse 12, states it very clearly in this fifth of the Ten Commandments when it says this. Exodus 20, 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And so the Lord wants us to honor our parents. And the tendency may be to think, well, it's a good thing I brought my kids to the service today, because boy, they really need this, whether it's the 10-year-old or the teenager. I'm sure glad my kids are here. I hope Pastor Odell really, really helps me out at our house by preaching a message to the children. The reality of the matter is this, that this whole concept of honoring your parents is not an exclusive command for children. It really covers the gamut of age, even as Pastor Golden prayed earlier, that we would all understand the significance of honoring our parents. And so this is not just a sermon for kids or for teenagers. The command to honor your parents is really timeless and applies to people of all ages. I hope that becomes more and more evident as we explain and unpack this text together with other texts of Scripture this morning. And so in light of that responsibility to honor our parents, I want to look at it from two different angles or two different concepts, okay? So the first one I want us to consider is this, that we ought to understand why we are to honor our parents, the why to honor your parents. And we'll go not just to this passage of Scripture, but we'll go to a number of passages of Scripture this morning. I won't necessarily have you turn to every last one of them, but I think it's important for us to understand, in light of this being a part of the Ten Commandments, at least three different things. First of all, why to honor your parents? Because of whom they represent. Because of whom they represent. The commandment, really, in a very real sense here, this fifth commandment serves as a bridge between the first four commandments and the last of the commandments. You have heard me say, as we've made our way through the series, that if you were to divide these into two tablets, as is often depicted, that really the first four, rather than the first five, are on one, because they focus our attention on loving God, that we're to have no other gods, that we're not to make graven images, that we're to remember the Sabbath day. And so the first four really focus on loving God, and then the rest, the next six, really on loving one another. But the point could be made that in some ways, number five is a bridge between the two, because it, in a very real sense, is both, in that it is a demonstration of one's love for both God and for one another and for parents, because parents represent divine authority. Parents are given authority over the home as part of God's perfect design. And so ultimately, honoring parents is a way of honoring the Lord as He has commanded us. And honoring parents is so essential as a building block of society. Parents are essential. Parents are partners with the Lord in so many different ways. They're partners with the Lord in actually even creating life. And the fact that God enabled that mother and father to conceive a child, and parents are partners in creating life. Parents are a conduit also of God's authority. You understand that all human authority is delegated. All human authority is delegated by divine authority, by God himself. And so God has created this authority structure within our world and society today that is derived from him. And the home is an essential building block to a healthy society. And so our parents represent authority. Our parents also represent so much that's really a picture of the Lord. I mean, think about this, especially to a small child. Parents are everything to that little child. And so they, in a very real sense, they represent God being a provider. They are, as parents, providers. They represent God being a protector, because they, as parents, are protectors. They represent God being a teacher, because they, as parents, are teachers. They represent that God is a lawgiver, because in a very real sense, parents are lawgivers. So all of those things are a part of this package of divine authority and parental authority and parents representing God in a very real sense. And by that, parents then mold a child's understanding of what God is like, even when they are little tiny things. Parents mold and shape a young one's even very first concepts of what God is like as they represent the Lord to their children. So when we honor our parents, ultimately we simultaneously honor the Lord who has given us this command. I read of a story of a rabbi and an atheist who were flying on a plane together. And the rabbi had both his children and his grandchildren. They were going on a family trip on this airplane. And both his children and his grandchildren were extremely respectful toward the rabbi. And the atheist couldn't help but notice how respectful both of them, both the children and grandchildren, were to the rabbi. And so he made the following comment. He said, quote, "I just can't get over how respectful your family is to you. Mine aren't like that." The rabbi thought for a second and then responded. And he said the following. "Think about it. To my children and grandchildren, I am one step closer in a chain that links us back to God speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai." We would agree with that. But then he went on to say the following that caught my attention. To the atheist, okay, remember who he was speaking to. "Given your belief system, you, on the other hand, are just one step closer to being an ape." You see the difference in terms of divine authority? I mean, what is the authoritative basis in an atheistic, take God out of the picture type of setting? Sure, you could say that there was a societal emphasis, that a society would say there's value in honoring your parents, but the reality of the matter is there's no authority there, but there is authority when you believe God in his word, and God in his word has commanded that children honor their parents. There's a whole different authority. No authority in man-made secularism and humanism and evolutionism and all those things versus we're going back to what God has said. And we are, in a very real sense, a step closer to that in that chain, if you want to think of it in that sense. So parents represent the Lord and his authority because of whom they represent God. Secondly, why to honor your parents? Because of how it will impact your future. And that's stated both here in Exodus chapter 20 as well as Ephesians chapter 6. We'll look at that in a moment. But notice the second part of Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, when it says this, "that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." We have emphasized in our study of the Ten Commandments that this was a part of the Old Covenant, specifically the Mosaic Covenant that was formed between the nation of Israel and the Lord. And really, in a very real sense, the Ten Commandments are a synopsis of that Mosaic Covenant. And so part of that Mosaic Covenant and Abrahamic Covenant before it was the promise of a land that would be their own. And as they're making their way out of Egypt, this Exodus, and making their way to Canaan that would become the promised land, It's connected to this promise. It's connected to this commandment when it says specifically that you are to honor your parents, that your days may be long upon the land. And actually, later on in the book of Ezekiel, one of the things that is stated in the book of Ezekiel is the whole loss of them being deported from that land was at least in part as a result of them no longer honoring their parents. And so God makes a promise here in connection with that, and that is not a promise that is exclusively Old Testament in the sense of land and physical prosperity within the land. That's exclusively for the nation of Israel. But Ephesians chapter 6 expands on that command and that promise then in the following way. If you would turn there, I think it's essential for us to see this from a New Testament perspective and not just an Old Testament perspective as New Testament Christians. And so notice the way it states it in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Really, in a very real sense, it's an expansion on Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Because it doesn't just say honor, it also says obey. And then it gives us a little more perspective. So Ephesians chapter 6, notice what it says verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2. Honor your father and mother. And then there's this interesting and significant commentary, which is the first commandment with promise. That is one of the unique things about commandment number 5, is that indeed it's a commandment with a promise. God attaches a promise to obedience to this command. And then he goes on to say in verse 3 that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth, which is actually a little bit of a paraphrase of what Exodus said. And so I think what he's saying is that it's not just a exclusively Old Testament promise for the nation of Israel, but it's also a New Testament promise for the Christian, for the child of God in the age of grace. And the promise is this, that God promises his blessing in correlation with our obedience and honoring of our parents. And so there is a promise in relationship to the future that is not exclusively for the nation of Israel. So what are the ramifications of that promise? What difference does it make if Christian homes train and teach Christian young people to honor their parents and really in a sense to honor all of those in authority, elders included? Well, I think there are a couple of ramifications. First of all, on a personal level, the impact it will have on you personally, the way of honor and obedience to authority is the way of blessing in the believer's life. And I think you could make a case that it's even a way of blessing for an unbeliever's life, that there are even in a secular setting benefits to honoring those that are older than us, especially parents. And so it's a way of blessing. That's why, by the way, in the Old Testament, dishonoring your parents was actually punishable by death. You may have noticed some of the scriptures that were read from the Old Testament in relationship to that. And so I would say this morning to the younger generation, perhaps teenagers especially, the best way to really mess up your life is to do just the opposite of what your parents have to say, versus the way to head down a path of blessing and a path where you're not only right with God, but where also God can bless in your life and use you in great ways is the path of following what your godly parents counsel you to do and teach you to do. The scripture is very clear about that. If you want God's best, if you want God's blessing, honor your parents. And so from a personal perspective, it has a significant impact on your future. Unfortunately, I could tell story after story of young people who have chosen a completely different path and their lives are in shambles today because of choosing that path. It may have seemed right and fun and wonderful to them when they headed down that path, but after years of regrets and heartache and heartbreak and destroyed relationships, some have finally realized that they should have listened to their parents. They should have listened to their parents. And so personally, but then also it's important for us to understand that this is the way of blessing societally as well, in terms of an entire society, a society that honors the mature and respects familial authority is built on a foundation that God honors. So it's not just true of individuals, but it's true of a nation. Such societies, even if secular, will enjoy the blessing of following God's divine order. Even if secular, they will enjoy the blessing of following God's divine order. I like the way Kevin DeYoung put it in his book that's available out in the foyer. He said the following, quote, "Civilizations, societies, cultures, and countries do not flourish apart from social order, trust, and mutual respect. All of that is meant to be taught and imbibed in the incubator of the family," end quote. You see, honoring one's parents is a fountainhead that causes a nation to flourish. And I think that's part of why the United States of America historically has flourished, because of the Judeo-Christian ethic that for centuries taught that is, of course, being greatly diminished in our society today. Even a secular society can enjoy that when taught that. It's interesting. I read a study about Japan, a secular society. But Japan has a great deal of emphasis on respect for the aged. And this is probably true of a lot of Southeast Asia and Asia. And they actually have a holiday in Japan called Respect for the Aged Day. A holiday by that term. And I don't think it's an accident that this is what the study actually demonstrated, that it was no accident that some of the lowest crime rates in all industrialized nations, some of those lowest crime rates are enjoyed by the nation of Japan because of their concept of honor and their concept of honoring the elderly especially. They see the value of honoring elders and parents especially. Sadly, America seems to be more infatuated with youthfulness than maturity. Think about that. Think about all the things in our society that are in, and who decides whether or not they're in. It's typically the youth. And we're infatuated with looking younger and being younger and staying younger and all of that. And yet the focus in Scripture is actually on the mature and respect for and appreciation of the mature. And so, you know, in the United States of America, we're infatuated with youthfulness, and it seems that we're more obsessed with freedom and more obsessed with personal rights and independence rather than honor and responsibility, which are clearly taught in the Word of God. And so one of the keys to being a blessed nation is a return to intact mom and dad families where children are taught to honor their parents and their elders. It's a way to blessing personally. It's a way to blessing societally. And so we are to honor our parents because of whom they represent, because of how it will impact your future, but also because of whom it pleases. If you're still in Ephesians chapter 6, just turn over two books to the book of Colossians, where the book of Colossians, Paul reinforces again this concept, but uses slightly different terminology that I think is significant because it gives us a full understanding of the biblical instruction in relationship to honoring parents. When it says this in Colossians 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." I love that statement. It is well-pleasing to the Lord. Whenever I think of the word pleasing, I think of a smile. And so as I think about that in relationship to God, to honor your parents is to evoke the smile of deity. It's to evoke the smile of God. It's as if God is looking down from heaven upon you and upon me as we honor our parents, and he's smiling because it's well-pleasing to him that we would honor our parents. And I don't know about you, but if there's any one person in the universe whose smile I want to be looking down upon me, it's the smile of the Lord. Amen? That's the most important thing, is it not? That we would evoke a smile from our heavenly Father, because it's well-pleasing to him when we honor and when children obey their parents. Christians ought to be consumed with a passion to please the Heavenly Father above everything else. You should want to be well-pleasing to him. And so failing to honor your parents is failing to honor the Lord and is displeasing to your Heavenly Father. Why to honor your parents? But then secondly, notice ways to honor your parents. And we're going to look at a number of passages of Scripture. We may not turn to all of them for sake of time this morning, but this is where I trust that it is practical, but it's also practical for all generations, not just a tendency to think in terms of children, our children toward us. First of all, though, the Bible clearly says that we're to treat our parents with respect. The verse was quoted in Leviticus 19:3 about revering. That's the term that is used in Leviticus 19:3 about revering your mother and your father. And so treat them with respect. And it's interesting, that word revere is typically translated fear. It's typically translated something along the lines of reverence or appropriate awe. And usually it's used in relationship to God. But the Bible over and over again says that we are to fear the Lord. And so the whole concept of fear is both healthy respect as well as a sense of awe for authority, divine authority. And so to treat our parents with respect is so essential. We're commanded to honor and respect our parents. And I think it's important for us to understand that we are commanded to respect parents even if all that they do is not respectable. You understand that? Because there's this sense in our culture especially that you have to earn my respect. You have to earn my respect. That's not scriptural. Altogether unscriptural. I still remember hearing that for the very first time. I was working with a youth group and was in Bible college at the time. And I think part of it was just because my mom and dad, even before they were saved, they instilled in me this whole concept of honor your parents, obey your parents. There will be consequences if you don't do both. And that had something to do with a hand and or a belt, okay? So I was trained by that even before my parents were believers. And so to me, the whole concept of respect was just instilled, even with my parents at a young age. And so working with a youth group, and I remember this kid spouting off of saying something, and I don't remember the exact context of to whom he was referring, but he just said this. He just said, well, they're going to have to earn my respect. They're going to have to earn my respect. And that was just, you know, to me, blatantly wrong. But I've heard that many, many times since then. Have you not heard that yourself, where people will spout that? They're going to have to earn my respect, earn my respect. Well, the whole principle that's taught in Scripture in relationship to authority is that we still honor and respect someone placed in authority because of God placing them in authority, even though we might not agree with what they do and who they are and maybe even what they stand for. There is still an essence of respect that we are to demonstrate to them within the context of the home, within the context of government. I mean, we've all been there when there have been people in elected offices in our nation, even at the top level of the president, where maybe you altogether disagree with the person in that office that occupies the office of the president. And it's awful easy at those types of times to speak disparagingly about the president, whether it's the current or a past president. But we have to understand that we are to honor the king. We are to, as Scripture says, give respect because of the position, even if the person isn't always worthy of respect. That's a principle that goes throughout Scripture. And that's true within the home. That's true even as adults talk about your parents and think about your parents. This whole concept of respect. And so treat them with respect in at least two ways. How you act. Is it worthy of respect in relationship to your parents? How you speak, I think, is probably the bigger area that we could all work on. How you speak, what you say, both to and about them. And especially if you're raising children, it's so essential that you are training your children to speak respectfully to you and to all adults in terms of tone of voice. Even in terms of things that maybe our society is changing in relationship to, but I'm not sure is altogether good. Like, more and more I hear children speaking of their parents and maybe even using their parents' first name. To me, that lacks for respect and honor of parents, or defiant speech, or even as you are training your children to, as they get older, to respond to an adult by looking at them and speaking to them. That's an important part of training kids as a demonstration of respect to all adults. And so how we talk to and about our parents, parents must expect, perhaps even demand, that children respect them, obey them. But for us as adults, it's important that we treat our parents with respect, and maybe even parents that have gone on, that are no longer alive, in terms of how we speak about our parents. None of us had perfect parents, right? We all know that. And perhaps over time you realize just how imperfect they are, but you know what? When you think about how imperfect they are, that should be a reflection of how imperfect you are as well, and how imperfect I am as well. And so part of that respect is not blaming all of our problems on our parents. So many are so apt. If my parents had just not done this, and my parents have just not done that, and are disrespectful in that regard, or criticizing their parents' decisions, where perhaps you don't agree with what mom and dad decide to do, and you have to be careful not to be disrespectful in that. And so how we speak to, how we speak about our parents, even if they are elderly, is so essential. Treat them with respect. Secondly, maintain a close relationship with them. You don't have to turn to this text, but let me just read to you from the book of Proverbs, because Proverbs is, in a very real sense, a wisdom book written primarily, not altogether, but primarily by a dad teaching his son about wisdom. And in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it says this: "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." And so I have circled in my Bible multiple times where the book of Proverbs says, "My son, my son, my son, my son, do this, don't do that, listen to wisdom." And so there's instruction that's being given from parents to children. And we don't know the age. I mean, some think that probably the child was reaching adulthood probably because of the issues that are dealt with in the book of Proverbs. There's a good case that could be made for that. Some have described the book of Proverbs as a discipleship manual for young people taught by parents. And I think you could make a case for that. But I think part of what is being communicated here is this whole idea of relationship. And maintaining a relationship where there's communication going back and forth as a father is speaking to a son that may even be an adult in the book of Proverbs and conveying that wisdom. And so the essence of that relationship is so essential. You understand, the responsibility to obey your parents ends when you become an adult. Part of what I do in premarital counseling is talk about this whole transition from you have to obey your mom and dad to now you are leaving, the Bible says, and you're cleaving and becoming one and forming your own home. And so the command now that you're an adult and forming your own home is to honor them but not necessarily to obey them. It changes. That's a transition with adulthood, and that's kind of a challenging transition at times. But the responsibility, although you do not have to obey your parents as an adult, the responsibility to listen to them, I think, is still there. The responsibility to listen to them, seek their advice. You may not be able to heed it. You may disagree with their advice, and yet seeking it is essential. And maintaining a relationship, calling them, texting them, visiting them, ministering to them. Sadly, I've known some believers whose parents were unbelievers. And as a result of that, and perhaps some drama and conflict that was caused by that, they've cut off their parents altogether. That doesn't fulfill this scriptural mandate to honor your parents, except for maybe extreme situations, which I understand at times there are. You ought to do what you can to maintain a close relationship with your parents, to honor them in that sense. Maintain a good relationship. Thirdly, live a godly life. The greatest way that you can honor your parents is by doing what is right. Proverbs puts it this way later on in Proverbs chapter 23 and verses 24 through 25 about the importance of honoring your parents. That you would live as a wise child. Verses 24 and 25 of Proverbs 23. "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." So the greatest way for you to honor your parents is to live a godly life, the life that is pleasing to the Lord. You can bring great disgrace to your mom and dad. I remember even when Ruth and I were dating, we were high school sweethearts. And I remember us having a conversation, perhaps more than once, a conversation about our parents. And one of the things that I remember us discussing was we would never want to do anything that would dishonor our parents, that would bring some kind of disgrace in any way, shape, or form. And we wanted to live for the Lord. We wanted to please the Lord. That was the primary focus. But one of the secondary things that was even going through the mind of this 16, 17-year-old, this young couple, was we don't want to ever bring shame to our parents. And that's scriptural. Young people, you need to think about that in terms of your decisions and your choices, that if you're not careful can bring not just disgrace to the Lord, but to your family as well. And you should want to honor your parents by living a godly life, and ultimately, and more importantly, honor the Lord through that. So live a godly life. And then finally, care for them when they are unable to care for themselves. And I want us to go to Matthew chapter 15, because I think Matthew 15 helps us better understand Exodus 20, verse 12. So if you've not turned there yet, go with me to Matthew chapter 15 and verses 4 through 6. Actually, we'll read a little bit more than that to give you the context. So Matthew chapter 15, and I think we'll start reading actually in verse 1. Now, you need to understand that Jesus had multiple confrontations with the religious leaders of the day, okay? Typically, they were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, other scribes and religious teachers. And one of the things that Jesus was constantly dealing with was that they had allowed their tradition to trump the truth, okay? They had allowed their tradition to trump the truth. Later, they would compile a book called the Mishnah. We've referred to that in relationship to the Ten Commandments, where they would expand on. We mentioned that about in relationship to the Sabbath and all these hundreds of rules they made up about the Sabbath. And what that did is they added man-made traditions so that then trumped the truth. Well, they did this in this case, and in this case, they actually made it as an out, a way of getting out of honoring your parents by taking care of them when they were older. And so notice what Jesus is confronting in relationship to this tradition trumping the truth. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 1, it says this, "Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?'" We referred to this on in the message about the Sabbath. "For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?" So there it is, transgressing the truth of God's word with their tradition. And then notice what Jesus says in verse 4. "For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me as a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother.' Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" Those are some pretty scathing words from the lips of Jesus. What is he talking about? What is this about? Well, what this is about is that they had made this loophole in terms of this command to honor your parents, because part of the application of honoring your parents was seeing to it that they were cared for in their latter years when they were no longer able to work and provide for themselves. And typically in a Jewish home, oftentimes the homes were actually attached to one another. So mom and dad were living in these quarters, grandma and grandpa in these quarters, and there might even be three generations there together. You know, we oftentimes refer to in-law suites. Well, that was kind of the concept of them living together in their own little quarters within the boundaries of a home. And it was your responsibility. There was no Social Security. There was no Medicare. that type of safety net. And so it was the responsibility of the family. But notice what the Jewish leaders had done. They said this in relationship to that in verse 5, but you say whoever says this to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift of God. In other words, I've taken the money that I was supposed to use to make sure you had food, mom or dad, and a roof over your house, mom or dad. I've taken that, and I'm so spiritual, I gave that money to God. Maybe to put it into our context, I put it in the offering plate. And so now I don't have to take care of you. And the Jewish leaders of the day said, yep, you're off the hook. You don't have to worry about that. And that's what they were practicing. To the neglect of whom? To the neglect of the parents, the grandparents, the elderly within society. It's no wonder that part of why Ezekiel says that the captivity was a result of not honoring parents. Because that was happening across the board, apparently, in that society, even in Jesus' day. And Jesus speaks very clearly when he says, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Why do I say that? Because I think that gives us a full-fledged understanding of what it means to honor our parents, that there is a responsibility on our part to care for them. Now, does that mean the exact same thing in every single context? Does that mean that every one of us will need to have our parents living in our home rather than a nursing home? Not necessarily. It may be that you're helping pay for the nursing home, though, or some other type of care, or that you're at their house on a regular basis if distance allows that to happen, so that you're making sure that there's not neglect, so you're making sure their needs are being met. It may look a little different in a little different context. For me, it's challenging because my parents live in Minnesota, and so how do I do that long distance? And so there are a lot of different dynamics, but the bottom line is this. We have a responsibility to our parents to care for them in whatever way we can to make sure their needs do not go unmet. And that is first and foremost on the family, not on the government. You see, we've been so conditioned by the government to think, well, that's the responsibility of Social Security or Medicare, but it really is the responsibility of the family. And it's a way that we honor our parents who met our needs when we couldn't meet our own as children. And now the roles get reversed to meet the needs of our parents when they can't meet their own needs, if that happens. I have my eldest daughter here, so I'm preaching to her right now. I'm coming to live with you in Alaska someday, is what I'm saying. And when I can't take care of myself, you get to push my wheelchair around in Alaska, and we'll look forward to that day. Eric, you good with that? All right, good. He gave me the thumbs up, my son-in-law. I did, by the way. There was a kind of a father-in-law prenuptial agreement with my son-in-law, okay? Before I said yes, that he could marry my daughter, I said, as long as you take me hunting in my old age, when I can't take myself hunting anymore, as long as you're willing to do that, you can marry my daughter. And he said, yep, I'll do that. I'll take you hunting. So we joke about those kinds of things. But the reality of the matter is that we do have a responsibility to care for our parents. And in doing so, we honor them, and we honor the Lord. The Lord wants us to honor our parents. Kids, you honor your parents by obeying them. You honor your parents by your tone of voice toward them. You honor your parents by doing the things they expect of you. Parents, are you expecting that? Kids won't do that automatically. I don't know if you've noticed that, okay? In other words, it takes training and discipline to instill that in them. And so are you training your children to honor you and to obey you? If they don't learn to honor and obey you, they won't learn to honor and obey the Lord in all likelihood. And so that's essential for us as parents. Adults, are you honoring your parents? Maybe your parents are already gone, but are you honoring them in terms of even how you speak about them decades after their passing? All of us have a responsibility to do this. Now, the reality of the matter is this. None of us do it perfectly. And as I've mentioned this in other of these Ten Commandments sermons, none of us do any of the Ten Commandments perfectly. And so as a result of that, what does that make us? It makes us sinners. Jesus said that if you're going to get to heaven by keeping the commandments, you have to keep all of them all the time. You have to be perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. And so I remind you this morning, lest you think, okay, I've done a pretty good job with honoring my parents. That means I'm good with God, right? And I get to heaven, right? I remind you that Romans 3:20 says that the law is designed to show us what sin is. So we understand sin in relationship to the law. And so the law reveals the fact that we are sinners. And that Galatians 3:24 says that the law is designed to be a tutor, a teacher, a schoolmaster, to do what? To bring us to Christ. To make us realize that we're sinners. None of us honor our parents perfectly. None of us do all the commandments all the time perfectly. And so we need a Savior, a sinless Savior who died as the sacrifice and the substitute. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest of that verse, Galatians 3:24, says that we might be justified by faith. When you realize you're a sinner and you realize you need a Savior, what you must do is repent of your sin and place all of your faith in Jesus, because you fall short of the glory of God. And the only way to get to heaven is not by honoring your parents. It's important to honor your parents. But the only way to get to heaven is by placing your faith in that Savior. Have you done that today? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and the joy it is to teach it. I pray that we as children and we as parents would want to fulfill it in ways